Just as we come to worship, just want to read a passage from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Father, we thank you that as we gather here, it's all about Jesus. It's all because of what he's done. It's all because of that he chose to humble himself and to die on the cross, that we might know you, that we might be in relationship with you. We thank you that he is right now seated on the throne of heaven, and that he is the name that is above every name, and he is the name that we come to worship. Would you tune our hearts this morning just to sing your praise, that we might lift you up high and give you the honor and the glory that is deserved to your name.
Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Name in all the earth. And darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. So praise the Father. Free. amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bored with blood wholeheartedly, my soul undeserving. But God, you're so good, and God, you're so Father, we just pray that you would help us to never take that for granted, that you would never help us to become cold to the love that you have shown us, that you have poured out upon us, that we would always have hearts that are thankful, that you would choose to save sinners that were undeserving, that were unworthy, that were just sick with sin, and you would reach down and you would save, that you would come down humbly to die on the cross, that we might be like you one day in heaven. Father, we just pray that you would help us now as we come to your word As the kids go out to Sunday school and to creche, and as the youth go out to the tent, that you would just be ministering to all three parts that continue to happen here. As we open your word, we thank you that there's power in it. We thank you that you long to speak and to minister to us. Help us to have ears to hear what you're saying to us. We pray this in your name. Amen. There are no announcements this morning, so you're free to release your children and your bigger children. And just have a couple of minutes and we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, good morning. Good morning. Is the mic working? Is it all right? There we go. I hear it. How is everyone? Great. Sounds good. You're enjoying your weekend. Hey, this morning is a bit of a unique morning for us here at Shoreline. So if you're new, this is quite out of the ordinary. About once a year, we'll have a time like this that we call Vision Sunday. And it's really just laying out some of the plans that we have for the year, some of the things that are taking place currently in the life of the church, and oftentimes behind the scenes and leadership and those kinds of things. So if you're here this morning, I want you to know that it is unusual. Typically, we're going verse by verse through the Bible. We just finished up 1 Corinthians, and naturally, the next book that we'll be studying is, can you guess? 2 Corinthians. Great. Good job. You guys give yourselves a hand. That's sort of what we do here, so I'm looking forward to that, and we'll be getting into that next week. But this morning, we have this Vision Sunday, which for myself is actually challenging to prepare for. Less weight on my shoulders because I'm not delivering to you the Word of God, but what do I say? How do I approach it? There's so much to be said. And so let's just get into it this morning. But to begin, just a few announcements. The first is next Sunday, and I realize it's Valentine's Day, so husbands, take your wives out. Fiancés, take your fiancé out Saturday night, because Sunday night, next Sunday night, we're having a time that we call Draw Near Service. And it's a service that's just geared toward worship and prayer and just the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have that at 14th Ave Gospel Center, and I want to invite you to that. Also, Church Workers Conference that's being hosted by Calvary Chapel Bible Institute is going to be taking place April 22nd, Mark? Do you know offhand? Something like that, April 22nd through 24th. And it's a open invitation to anybody that's really wants to or is serving in the church. And I want to encourage you to just set that aside and take the time to get down to the conference. If you want more information, you can talk to Mark. Talk to Mark or Gwen here, and I'm sure that they can get you more information on what it's about, on times and the theme and all of those kinds of things. There's also a men's conference that's going to be taking place down there. I think that's later in March. Is that right? March 25th through 27th, I believe. And so, men, if you would mark that down in your calendars, it's a great time of just encouragement, getting to know people from this church, but also from other churches in the country. And I just want you to be able to attend that. We're also planning something, and there is a slide for this, that I just called the Boys Camp Out, because it's meant to be a camp out that is for boys. All right? Big men, boys, or little boys. The idea is men can come along, but I wanted to open it up for fathers to bring sons, or if there's a young man in your life that you just want to mentor or bring along to this, it's going to be at that place, camping ground. It's just that direction. You can look it up on Google. It's not a DOC campsite, but it's a campsite that's more open. It's real. It's a little bit more like proper camping, but we can have fires on the beach and those kinds of things. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go. If you want to join me, you're certainly welcome to join me. My son and I will be there. One more thing is soon they'll be starting a women's Bible study through this book. If you've ordered a book, my wife said she wants you to pay for it. So the books have been ordered. They're on the way. We have paid for them. So if you did order a book, it'd be great if you could just cover the expense of the book. I think it's $15 from what she said for the shipping and everything. So if you want to be a part of that, I think there's still an opportunity. Just talk to my wife after the service, who I think is in with the kids this morning. Okay? All right. Well, it's great, again, to be able to be with you, to be able to talk about some of the things that the Lord is doing, and I think some of the things that the Lord has for us this next year. But before we begin that, let's just submit this time to the Lord. Father, we are so thankful this morning, again, that you've just provided for us, Lord, in some really great ways. In the past, Lord, we see how you've provided for this body, and God, we anticipate, Lord, good things for this church. Not that it will be absent of any adversity or difficulty or challenges, but Lord, we've just seen what you've been doing here and how you've been laying a foundation and how you've been adding to your church, Lord, and how it's been growing not only, Lord, numerically, but also, Lord, spiritually and in maturity. How you're using people, individuals, Lord, to edify the church and to reach out into the world. And God, you're stirring people up to go out even onto the streets and to preach your gospel. And I thank you for those people, Lord, that you're using both here and here to go out. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, that you'd continue to bless. Lord, our true desire, Lord, is to just bring glory to you and to bring people to you, Lord. To bring you to people, to be salt and light in this world. And I pray, God, that as we follow you, Lord, as you are our great shepherd, Lord, that, God, we know that you will lead us sometimes through those valleys of the shadow of death. But even in those times, we don't need to be afraid because you are with us. Your rod, your staff, your elements, sometimes, Lord, of correction, they comfort us. They let us know that you love us. You lead us by still waters, and you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, Lord. And I thank you that you are our shepherd. And as we look to you this morning as your sheep, as your flock, God, we're just so comforted in knowing that you are our leader. So, Lord, this morning we just want to submit all of these things, all of these plans, everything, Lord, that is on our hearts, and everything, Lord, that we think may happen. We just want to submit that all to your will and really, truly, honestly, openly say, not our will, but yours be done, Lord. So, God, we thank you this morning for this time. And I pray, God, that you'd help me to say the things that need to be said. And maybe more importantly, not to say the things, Lord, that ought not to be said. And that you'd give me real wisdom, Lord, this morning as we approach your word and as we I discuss these things, Lord. We just come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray in his name. Amen. You know, I just couldn't help it before speaking about our plans and our vision for 2021, I wanted to take a minute and allow a scripture about planning to kind of set the tone for this morning's meeting. It's a familiar scripture. It's one I actually read last week. The title of the message, if you want to call it that, is Our Plans and God's Providence. Our Plans and God's Providence. And the scripture this morning comes from James chapter 4, verse 13. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can do that. Otherwise, the scriptures should be there on the screen. James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good," he connects this thought to what he's just said, "and does not do it, to him it is sin." And again, we touched on this last week, and I think that last week's message was just so in touch with what we have to share this morning. And I love when the Lord does that because I don't plan that far ahead. You know, that was where we were at. And it connects to where we are at as a church in so many ways. I'm not going to go back and speak about those things. However, if you want to do that, you can. But James here is addressing a merchant or a trader, a businessman. And it's a businessman that approaches business with a go-getter kind of attitude. Remember, he's probably speaking to Jewish people. And, you know, just a real great businessman, go-getter. I'm gonna go and get the trade. And the bottom line for this man is, I'm going to make money. I'm going to go and I'm going to make money. And, you know, all of us can benefit tremendously from what James teaches here. And one of the things that he's teaching here is that when formulating a plan, it's best to approach it in humility and with the understanding, number one, that we have limited knowledge. You know, sitting down and formulating a plan based on all of the things that we think we know, what James says is, you don't really know anything about tomorrow. We can plan and we can think and we can assume what's going to happen tomorrow, but we don't know what's going to happen Our plans for our future cannot be based on what we know because we don't know the future. That's pretty simple, isn't it? None of us know what is happening tomorrow. So at best, when we make plans, our plans are based on what we imagine may come to take place. Not knowing the future does not mean that we shouldn't make plans. It means that our plans are made in surrender and in submission to the will of God who does know the future. You know, there's a saying, I think it was first attributed to Homer, not the Simpson, but the philosopher. It's been attributed to other people as well, that is, I don't know what the future may hold, but I know who holds the future. And as cliche and as that may sound, it really is a very great principle to cling to. I don't know what the future may hold, but I know God. And I know the one who holds my future, who holds the future. And so as we approach a year like 2021, many of us may be scarred from 2020 and thinking, oh no, what's going to happen this year? I don't know what's going to happen this year. Neither do you. Nobody knows except for our God, who's gracious and kind and loving towards us. Another thing that we need to remember as we make plans is that we submit them to the Lord and surrender them in humility because we have not only a limited knowledge, but a limited time. And what Paul does here and his purpose here is really to point out the fragility of human life and the foolishness of human boasting. Look at you. You're not even guaranteed tomorrow, and you're making plans for the future as though they're going to come to pass. If we don't even know that we'll survive the night, why do we boast about tomorrow? There's an old Reebok marketing campaign that still sticks in my mind that used to say, life is short, play hard. And then the Christian said, we'll do a t-shirt that says, life is short, pray hard, right? Life is short, play hard. And what James says here, however, I think is more along the lines of life is short, so plan well. And you might be thinking, well, that's not what he says at all. He doesn't say life is short, plan well. How does one plan well, I suppose, is the question. And here's the key. A good plan doesn't begin with I will. A good plan begins with if the Lord wills. And that's what James says. He rebukes the one that says, I will do this. And he says, instead, the person making plans should say and should begin their plans with the preface, if the Lord wills. And that's why I think it's so important this morning that establishing that reality and that fact that any plans that I'm bringing to you this morning are all prefaced with, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. Every facet of our lives and even life itself is subject to the grace, mercy, and providence of the Almighty God. And a well-laid plan is not always a plan that makes sense to us, but it is a plan that falls in line with what God desires for us. Scripture that came to mind is found in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Jesus tells a story, and in verse 13, he says, one from the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man. I don't know if he said, man, who made me a judge? No, I think he said, man, who made me a judge and arbitrator over you? He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That scripture right there is something that we need to keep in mind, certainly. But then he goes on to speak this parable, and he says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? He had too much. So he said, I'll do this, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and then there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what we call retirement. Isn't it? That's what we strive for. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So Jesus says, he who lays up treasure for himself, so is he who lays up treasure for himself. He's a fool and is not rich toward God. See, Jesus explains that in this parable that our plans need to be consumed with eternal things more than temporal things. Jesus describes a retiree, essentially, whose plans leave him exceedingly wealthy and positioned to finally enjoy the fruits of his labor. He is, by all accounts, a successful planner. The only issue is that very night that he was set to enjoy the fruits of his labor, his soul was required of him. His plans were foolish, not because his plans didn't work. His plans were foolish because they consisted only of temporal worth. And I think that it's so important when making plans that we consider eternal value rather than merely temporal. See, the fragility of our lives, which we've been reminded of through this last year, ought to bring to us a sense of, if tomorrow never comes, what have I done that is of eternal value with my life today? Our plans need to be centered more on those things than these things. And I love the balance of the Apostle Paul when speaking about money in particular. After he warns Timothy of the dangers of pursuing wealth, and he says that some have even shipwrecked their faith in the pursuit of material gain, Paul instructs those who have material wealth in this way. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he says, command. That's a strong word. Command those who are rich in this present age. And I'll remind you that according to this world, all of us in this room are these people. And if you go to other nations, you will be aware of that. And here's the command. Don't be haughty. Don't be proud. Don't be boastful. Don't trust in those things. He says, don't be haughty and don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. If you are blessed with material things, trust God. He's given those to you to enjoy them. All right? It's okay to enjoy the blessings that God has given to you. But then he says this, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And here's the point, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I think that too many people store up in their barns, even Christians store up in their barns, but fail to plan for what is in their eternal future. And I want to command, and Timothy, you know, commands, if you're rich in this present age, be sure that you're not consumed with this present age. Be sure that you are investing in eternal things and not things that are fading away. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One more thing about this, when we think about plans, we have limited knowledge, limited time, but also, very important, we serve a limitless God. A limitless God. James doesn't want us merely to focus on our incapability or our incapacities. He wants us to really focus on God's capacity. Sometimes we make plans that fail to recognize our own weaknesses, while at other times we make plans that fail to recognize God's strength. Both of those things are dangerous. Being aware of our weaknesses may paralyze some people and keep them from moving forward. Sometimes when we think that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and I don't know how long I'm going to live, that can paralyze some people to keep from moving forward at all. But being aware of our own weaknesses is not meant to keep us from moving. It's meant to encourage us to continue trusting in God and relying on God and following after Him. And there may be times when we fail not because of our bad planning, but because of our low estimation of God and our lack of faith in His power and even His grace or His favor to work in and through our lives. We can assure ourselves of greater success when we ensure that our plans are firmly established in what we know pleases the Lord. We want to pursue what we know pleases the Lord and walk according to what He has already revealed in His Word. So when we make plans, we want to be sure that they're according to what God desires for His church. And our scriptures that talk about that very directly. When we fail to submit ourselves to God, and when we base our plans on the limitations of us, we run into some serious problems. And I want to just close these thoughts with Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. It says, "There are plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." So as we make plans, as we pursue the Lord, I want you to be assured that as leaders, as elders, that we are pursuing the will of the Lord. We're not trying to push anything through. We're not trying to make stuff happen. We just want to follow God and His will. And so everything that we do plan, everything, every effort that we do put into different things, it's just, God, we just want to do what You want us to do, and for the health benefit of this body, for your glory. I want to remind you of just some of a mission statement that we actually have posted online. There should be an image there. Just our vision is we want to see Jesus exalted, His people established, equipped, His people engaged, the world enlightened. Values that we'll continue to maintain are that we're passionate about prayer, emphatic about expository teaching, you might say, authentic in our adoration, sustained by the Spirit of God. We're focused on fellowship, and that we are committed to the Great Commission, to making disciples of all nations. It's important to keep these things in mind. We want to see Jesus exalted through the Word, through songs of praise, through worship, through teaching, and indeed through our actions. I want to see His people established in their faith through the Word of God, the faithful teaching of His Word. I want to see His people not only established in their faith, but equipped for the work of ministry, both in the church and outside of it. And I want to see His people, this church, engaged in the world and in the work of ministry. The Great Commission requires that we leave this place and go into the world and go out and make disciples. And I'm not saying you're all going to become foreign missionaries. I'm saying that you already are missionaries, wherever you're at. In a sense, you are sent out by the Lord to make disciples, in a sense. And that through that, I want to see people come to know the truth about Jesus, come to faith in Him, saving faith. If ever there was a time for us to be salt and light in this world, it's today. Increasingly, it's becoming putrid and dark. What the world needs is salt and light. And there are a few points that I want to focus in on this morning. As we just look for the future, you know, having this preface of if it's the Lord's will, some things that are taking place, and one of those things is related to leadership. One of the things I'm thankful for here at this church is that God has brought into Shoreline people who have committed themselves to the service of the church. Some have been serving this church far longer than me. Much like we read about last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, Paul said, "I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry, the service of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I'm glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men." You know, Mark Walsh has been serving Shoreline for a long time. Did you even have gray hair when you started? Yeah, okay. I gave you a chance. Since its inception, Sandy McNeil, who can't be here today because he's bringing his daughter up to uni, same thing. We have men that may not have an official capacity, but they've been faithfully serving you here at this church as well in a variety of different ways. And we're so thankful for them. In particular, there are two men that I want to just speak about today that I believe the Lord would have us acknowledge as men who have devoted themselves to serving the saints. You know, we got Brian Malcolm as well, serving as an elder here. How long has it been now? About a year or so? Something like that. Have to ask my wife. She remembers all those dates. But men who have devoted themselves to serving the saints, men who have refreshed my spirit, and I believe they've refreshed yours. And so my desire in acknowledging these men is to present them as men that ought to be submitted to, men who are devoted to you, who serve you on a regular basis, and men who are helping to shepherd and lead this flock. We saw last week that word pastor comes from the Greek word poimen, which just means shepherd. It's just people that help to lead, care, and tend to the flock of the Lord. One of those areas where I think the Lord has really been moving and working is this area of worship ministry. And I'm sure that you guys have taken note. You've seen how the Lord has added just to the music and this part, this aspect of the church. I believe personally that culturally this is one of the most vital aspects of a church gathering. It's our time of just setting our attention and our gaze heavenward in praise and in worship. We see praise and worship playing an integral role in the Bible through singing and through music. Music is one of those things that people disagree about in the church, right? I don't like this, I don't like that, I like hymns, I like modern music, look, we can disagree on style, and there's no reason to divide over style, really. Especially, there's just no reason for it. It's music itself plays an important role in almost every culture of the world. Different styles, but I think more importantly for us, we see it play an integral role, as I said, in both the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. I mean, you look in the Old Testament and you see the book of Psalms, a book that comprises and accounts for more than 7% of the Old Testament dedicated to music, ultimately, to songs. Song of Solomon is what, and maybe even Proverbs sometimes, but poetry and song. And we also have song lyrics recorded in the book of Revelation. Look, we're going to be singing. There's going to be music in heaven. I think it's going to be great. We'll all be able to sing well. Praise the Lord. You might be like, the music's too loud. At least you don't have to hear your neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. That's how we get you to sing sometimes. If you don't sing good, you're more likely to sing if you can't hear yourself. The mention of Jesus singing with his disciples in Matthew 26, the singing of the apostles in Acts chapter 16, I believe that music still plays an important role in our lives today. Paul encourages the church in Ephesus to be involved in speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Colossian church, he says in chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts toward the Lord." A while back, again, I'm terrible with dates, a couple of years back, I believe, nearly, the Lord brought James Williams and his family to us from England, serving the church. He's working at a school here, Bethlehem College, BC, they call it, not British Columbia, or before Christ. For the past months, I don't know if it's been a year or something, James has embraced a role as the worship leader. And he's been working alongside Vicky and others to lead us in music and in song that will exalt the Lord and connect with those who attend at Shoreline. I see his role in particular as more than a worship or a song leader. I think that his giftings really make him more than that. I see him and I really view him as our worship pastor. He's taken people under his wing and mentored them, and he's leading people, youth, into this really wonderful ministry of just leading the body of Christ in worship of the Lord. It's not about us on the stage. It's about the Lord. And he does a wonderful job of ensuring that we keep our eyes heavenward. And so I see him as our worship pastor, if you want to call it that. Somebody who's helping to shepherd the flock through this ministry. Another area of leadership where I think we do well to really recognize a person is this area of youth ministry. We've seen a commitment to service and growth in this area, tremendous growth, in fact. God brought Joe Crispy here a little more than a year ago to oversee our youth ministry. Teach them, to lead them, to shepherd them. You know, we're living in challenging and dark times. And we're standing for Christ is becoming increasingly difficult. even for people who have lived their lives, the difficulties and temptations facing our young people and are changing and living for Christ, I believe is becoming exponentially more difficult in this society that they're growing up in, a society that is opposed to almost everything that our faith contends for. And because of this, we have been committed to ensuring that we do our best to minister to our children and to our youth. And that's why children's ministry, look, it's a blessing. Get involved. I said, is there anything you want me to say about children's ministry, Destiny? And she's like, ask for more help. So here I am. But God brought Joe Crispy here with a specific calling to serve the young men and women here at Shoreline Church. And he's deeply committed to the teaching of God's word. And he's gifted there in that area. As we realize what our young people need is not more entertainment, but truth, grounded in the word of God. You read the Bible and look what God did through youth, right? You look at men like David and Gideon and even people like Mary or Ruth maybe or Esther, and God did amazing things through young people. They're capable of carrying out a great commission, and they need to be grounded in the word of God. And that's what Joe's doing on a regular basis. You don't see it on Sunday. You know, we just have a tent in the back parking lot. But this past Friday, they have youth group every Friday. Joe and Becky, along with Andrew and Vicky, who have been helping to lead the youth ministry, were at the beach just down here off of Grove Avenue with just about 30 young people. Yeah, their parents go to other churches, some of them, but the testimonies that have come from some of these parents have been really quite incredible. They've attended this Cultivate program, this discipleship program that was established by Mark's son, Jordy Walsh, who's now the lead pastor up at Calvary in Auckland. And one mother came to Destiny asking, "What did you do to my son?" And she thought, "Uh-oh, what happened?" And she said, "He's come back with such a love for the Word of God. And I've tried to get it in there, but it just never worked. But he came back and he wanted to study and read the Scriptures." What a beautiful, beautiful testimony. It's making me tear up a little bit. But I just wanted to take a moment and play the video that we have. I think it should be queued up in the notices, I believe. And this is the most recent Cultivate thing, all right? Discipleship program videos. Let's just take a moment and watch this. You find it?
Yeah.
All right, so they have some fun. In a very real way, youth ministry is cross-cultural ministry. And it requires somebody that's committed to understanding what these young people are going through and almost immerse themselves in a culture that scares me, right? I just ask you to recognize Joe as someone that has been given responsibility to help pastor these young people, to shepherd them, along with Becky, who he's soon to marry just a couple of weeks now, and people like Vicky and Andrew, who have come alongside to help them shepherd and mentor these young people. Pray for these men, James and Joe, and we may, in a couple of weeks, actually have a service where we recognize them more publicly, but pray for them. Listen to them, and look for them to be people that can shepherd you alongside myself. Another thing that I'm excited about for this coming year is life groups. One thing that 2020 taught us, even are the introverts of the group, which happens to be most of us, I think, in a lot of ways. Look, if you come into Shoreline, you're like, that church is unfriendly. I don't think they mean to be. We're just trying to break out of our own shells sometimes. But life is better together, right? Even us introverts learned that. Connecting with people can prove difficult, especially in our cultures, in our society, in our individualistic, self-focused society. We do our lives, you do your lives. Once a week, we get together and see each other, we chat, and then we go our separate way. But my desire in 2021 is to see us connect with one another on deeper levels outside of this Sunday morning service. It's just not good enough for me to see you once a week. That means I like you. I hope you feel the same way about the people that are sitting around you. I know that they're a bit weird, but I hope that you can feel that way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider one another. Consider one another. That we just need to do that, because so many times we're just thinking about ourselves. So many times people come to me and say, you know, people just don't reach out to me. Reach out to them. Like, consider other people. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I always like to think of passion fruit juice when I think of stirring up. All the good stuff sinks to the bottom. You need somebody to come along and just stir it up. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another in so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching when Jesus is going to return for us? Put your hands up if you see that. If you believe that Jesus is coming, and it certainly seems sooner rather than later. So what? No. Don't raise it every time I raise my hand. But. All the more, let us ensure that we're gathering, stirring up one another. We need that. I need that. You need that. Life groups will be different from small groups that we had that were active in 2019. With small groups, the intention was to provide a midweek period of time where we could connect in these small groups for a text-centered Bible study. It was meant to just provide a midweek meeting point. The vision, however, of these life groups is that we get more acquainted with, and I don't love the phrase, but people use it, doing life together. Instead of doing it all just separately, we get more acquainted with this idea that we are a community of people, that we are brothers and sisters, that we're a family, because together is better. Another aspect of these life groups is to offer more flexibility and fellowship with a name to foster deeper spiritual connections with the Lord and one another. Some of these life groups may be centered around prayer. Maybe a group will want to get together and say, I just want to pray. Maybe there will be a life group centered around Bible study, or maybe around a common interest. Some will desire to focus on evangelism, while another group may want to focus on worship. The point is, I want to see us get together and be more intentional about our spiritual pursuits. Young mothers may want to get together at a park and encourage one another specifically in their faith and just pray for each other. I don't know what all of these are going to look like. A lot of it is going to be dependent on volunteers stepping up and saying, I'd like to host something like this. I'd like to be a part of something like this. I'd like to help lead something like this. We're going to have those opportunities as the weeks unfold. But along these lines, I'll continue to study and teach through the Old Testament. I'll upload those teachings online as we go through Exodus, and maybe a group will want to go through those together. I don't know. For these to work, we need people that are willing to step up, host, lead, and attend. I'm asking you to pray about it. Think about it. These will start to launch in May, so there's time. More information will come. But we're running out of time, and I want to get to our third and final thing, which may be the most important in some regards, location. Leadership is one of the things. Life groups is the next. Locations. God has blessed us with this building for a number of years with a tremendous motto: to overcome loneliness and offer friendship and happiness to elderly people. So I know that drew some of you in. I guarantee. No, I'm just kidding. It's not our motto. It's not our building. Shoreline has met in this facility now for many years. It's been a blessing. We've attempted several times to find something more suitable specifically for a children's ministry. We know that this sometimes stymies our growth in many ways. It doesn't allow for us to invest in areas that we want to invest in specifically with the kids. Every time we've looked, we've found something that is a similar space but for more money, so it just didn't make sense to move sideways. If we're not moving forward, it just didn't make sense. Several weeks ago, the trustees and elders met to discuss some things that we're going through this morning. One issue that arose, and something of a real desire for us, was to see us move into a space that we could ultimately call home, a place at the very least where we could grow. Wanted to pray and fast over these things, and I want you to do that. Yesterday, I received a phone call from the Senior Citizens Club, those who own this building, and they've decided to close, which means they have to liquidate all of their assets, donate them to a charity, including this hall. So, it presents some major issues for us. Excitingly, Sandy, one of the elders here, was able to connect those in charge of this hall, and there's a chance that as a charitable organization, we could, as a church, take on the ownership and the management of this facility, this building. That came out of nowhere. I'll tell you what, the last couple of months have been like this for me. And that's why I'm like, God, I don't know about this planning stuff, but I know you, and I just want to follow you. And so what I would ask you to do is, we have a meeting on Tuesday, the trustees are meeting, and we're just talking about a couple of these things. Would you please pray for us? And would you even commit yourself potentially to fasting? Because we do want a place, and we think that what we offer at this church is something good for this community. It's something necessary. Just the verse-by-verse teaching of the Bible and what we have here, we think is something special and something needed. And we want to be able to reach out to this community in greater ways and have a greater impact through the Word of God. And so pray for that. Because it just came up yesterday, so I don't know. That's pretty much, this should be the I don't know if God wills service. Not vision service, but I don't know if God wills. Another opportunity that we've been talking about is the potential for us to take ownership of an op shop that is there on Fraser Cove. Currently, it's owned by Doing Good Foundation, which was Habitat for Humanity. We've received a revised draft agreement of sale and purchase from our lawyer, and we again have a trustee meeting this Tuesday to discuss moving forward with the purchase or pulling out. Provides us with this shop, a sense of presence in the community. And I think one of the things that Shoreline has lacked is a permanent presence in this community. We exist Sunday morning for about 3 hours, if you happen to drive down this street or look for us online specifically. This venture, the op shop, would provide us with community engagement. And that's one of the visions, to be engaged in the community on a daily basis. And it's the kind of connection with the community that we wouldn't get just through owning or having a building. As a church, we don't exist merely to formulate slick programs and make ourselves comfortable as we can on Sunday mornings. That's not what the church is about. That's not what we're driven toward, to make sure that everything's just real comfortable for you so you feel good and safe when you come in. That's good. Sheep need to feel safe, but it's not all that we're about. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world, and our desire is to let our light so shine that people would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, which, incidentally, Jesus said. When we were in Israel in November, the last year, not 2020, but 2019, there was a couple of seas. We went to the Sea of Galilee that's full of life. And then we drove down to this Dead Sea, which is the lowest body of water, 400 meters below sea level. It's called the Dead Sea because it's dead. And one of the reasons that it's dead is because it doesn't have an outlet. Everything flows in, nothing flows out. A healthy church is a church with a healthy inlet ministering to the body and a healthy outlet. I've seen churches die not because they don't have a healthy inlet, but because they have no outlet. There's nowhere for what God's doing in their midst to go out to anywhere else. And it just becomes insulated and it becomes isolated, and they become just about themselves and not about the Great Commission, not about this mission that we have from God to continue reaching out into this world. There are people in this community in need. And this is just going to increase in 2021. Physical need, material need, definitely spiritual need. This shop, where it's located, would provide us opportunity. Opportunity certainly for profit, but more than that, as my heart as a pastor, is for people. We are a generation. We are the generation that is meant to reach this generation. It provides us a presence and a place for current ministry. I don't know if you realize this, but Joe and myself are operating from our bedrooms, which is less than ideal when your kids are homeschooled. All right? Small house, it's less than ideal. And I don't think that desiring an office space to work from for us, in my opinion, is too much to pray for or to desire. The op shop would provide ample space for the church to run several offices from that space. And that would be the plan if indeed the Lord would have us pursue it. It also provides a place for future ministry. It'd provide not only an office space, but we have plans to arrange the shop in such a way that we can move large portions of the inventory so that we can meet there in the evenings or potentially even a Sunday morning. Stands that can be rolled away to suit larger gatherings, partitions that can be placed there to keep things looking clean, I guess. I know you're like, I don't want to meet in an op shop. Look, the early church met in worse places. Many churches are meeting in worse places, all right? So if an op shop is a roof, and it's a place. Could mean midweek, Sunday morning gatherings, potential for community meals for that area in Fraser Street, after-school programs. Hundreds of kids walk past that shop every day. And it provides profit. I don't like to talk about money, but money's real stuff. You know that, right? When you go buy something, I know now you don't use money, you use a card, but that's connected to money somehow. Money, ministry costs money. That's just reality. If you don't realize that, it's reality. It costs money to rent this hall. It costs money to provide food. It costs money to do what we do here. It costs time. We get here Sunday morning, 7:30, 8 o'clock to set everything up. Then we tear it down. It costs money. It costs effort and energy. I think it robs, to be honest with you, what we have to manage here on Sunday mornings. It actually robs from the spiritual ministry. Because rather than communicating and speaking and praying with people, we're like, let's put the chairs away. Let's put the stuff away. Profitable business that provides an income that's separate from donations would help us to support the ministry and missionary endeavors that store up heavenly rewards. That's what we're about. I don't think it's only wise. I also think that it's right for us to look into those things. May provide us with funding necessary to get into a building that might suit our needs better as a church. These are just some of the things. There's a lot of stuff that I could go over, but these are some of the more pressing matters that I'd ask you to be praying for, considering, bringing before the Lord. See if the Lord would have you give. Look, if you're new here, I'm sorry for this. We don't do this. You can ask somebody sitting next to you, we don't do this. But there are some pressing needs, and you are, some of you, a member of this body. I just want you to be praying for these things. Pray for wisdom. All right? I love you guys. And I'm so thankful for you. And I think I'm thankful for what we can put our faith in. It's not in our plans. It's in God's providence for this church and for us. Amen? I'm going to invite the worship team forward. This morning we have communion. So if I could get a few men from the church to come forward as well, ushers to hand out communion, that would be awesome. Brian and Phil. The worship team is going to lead us in a song, and these gentlemen are going to hand out communion. And what I'd ask you to do is to take the communion to yourself, hold it, and Luke is going to come and lead us in the time of communion this morning. But let's just pray as the worship team prepares and as Brian and Peter and Phil hand out communion. Father, we thank you that we can put our hope and trust in your plans. Father, we thank you that you are not only a God that is trustworthy, but you're a God that is gracious. You're a God that you're looking out for us. You love us. You care for us. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray, God, for all of these things. We ask, Lord, that we would trust in your providence, and that we would see you do amazing things, Lord, in and through this body. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. When we come to communion, it always strikes me the contrast we have between sorrow and joy as we do this thing, you know, to remember the gospel. I guess the worst news we get is that we've offended God, and our actions have offended God to the point that he is angry with us, and we would be eternally damned and separated from him. And I guess the great sorrow is to know that the price of that was Jesus coming to die for us, that he would have to suffer the wrath of God because of what we had done. And I think, like, even since last week when I took communion, I've sinned again and still need that Jesus would have died for me. And I guess that's the great sorrow. But then we have the great joy that he rose and that's over now. You know, the price has been paid, we've been bought, and we will be forever with the Lord. And I think the most amazing thing is that he loves us like we never sinned. There's an old hymn with the words, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet?" And so as we take communion, I think a lot about that contrast. And also the contrast between the justice of God and the grace of God. In Psalms 33, it says, "He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord." And so in one verse we see the righteousness which demands justice for our sin, but also the love of God which rescues us from it. So the symbols of communion, we obviously have the bread. And in John 6, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So Jesus is the bread that gives eternal life. And then we have the blood which ransoms us. In Revelation 5, they sing to Jesus, "Worthy are you, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." So with the body and the blood of Jesus, we have, I guess, sorrowful and I think really kind of gruesome symbols. You know, we can come to church and it's comfortable and it's easy to just sort of take the cracker and the juice, but when we think about what that represents, you know, the gruesome sacrifice that had to be made, and that was the price that was paid for us. But now we're redeemed, and you know, God treats us like he treats Jesus. You know, we're righteous because Jesus is righteous. We're without sin because Jesus was without sin. And we're conquerors because Jesus has conquered death. So let's pray and then let's eat together and drink together. Lord God, we want to praise you, Lord, and we want to thank you that we are able to come before you, Lord, as you are a holy God and almighty. And in our sin, Lord, we know we could not reach you. And Lord, as we think about our need, and your word says to examine ourselves as we come to the Lord's table and to repent for what we have done and to seek your forgiveness. And we thank you, Lord, that you're merciful and you're gracious and you're willing to forgive, Lord, and you're willing to seek us out, Lord. And we thank you for your body broken for us on the cross, for your blood shed for us. We know there's no other way we could be saved, Lord. There's no other hope for us but to trust fully in you and only in you, Lord. And so as we come here this morning and eat this bread and drink this cup, Lord, together, we just want to remember everything you have done for us and our great hope that is in you. So let's eat and drink. And Lord, we do have great joy in that, Lord. We know we will be forever with you. And Lord, whether we die and go to be with you, or whether we meet you in the air, Lord, that is our great hope, that we will spend eternity with our Savior who died for us and rose again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Should we stand and sing together? I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me, and I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down.
Don't pray.
so thankful for all that you have done for us. And God, we thank you for not only giving to us victory over death, over sin through the cross, but also, Lord, empowering us to be your witnesses here in this world. Father, I pray that we would all individually and as a church just be so focused on your work, Lord, on what you have for us here and what you have prepared for us with you. We thank you, Lord, for this time, and I pray, God, that you would continue to just lead this body according to your will and in your providence, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look, there's a lot of stuff that I wasn't able to say this morning just for sake of time, a lot of information. Obviously, we still need help for op shop direction, management committee. We're still putting that together. We're putting together bits and pieces. Beth has been working tirelessly on business planning and those kinds of things. Be praying for us this Tuesday specifically. And hey, we look forward to 2021, but again, it's the Vision Sunday of I don't know. If the Lord wills. Amen? Amen. God bless you. New things will be coming, kind of rolling out as the weeks go on in February. Have a great week. See you later.